Okay, I've got one. We keep saying classify like everybody's supposed to nod along, and I think we've been getting away with that for weeks.
That is
Such an exploring next move, honestly.
Yeah, we absolutely have. And every time we do it, I can feel the hand wave sitting there like, cool, you said the word. Now, what does it actually do?
Exactly. So let's stop pretending the word is the explanation. I'm doing fine, by the way, if you're wondering how my week is going. Slightly less chaotic than usual, which feels suspicious.
Mine's been pretty normal too, which for us is basically a miracle. And classifier is one of those words that sounds fancy until you strip it down and realize it's just put things into buckets.
Right, like spam or not spam, cat, dog, bird, safe or unsafe. You give it an input, it gives you a category. That's the whole skeleton. And somehow we keep burying it under a mountain of jargon.
And that skeleton matters because a classifier is not trying to predict a number. It's trying to pick a class, a label from a fixed set. That sounds tiny, but it changes the whole setup.
So, if I'm hearing you right, the mental model is basically a very overqualified sorter, not a calculator, not a fortune teller, just someone standing at a table saying, this one goes in this pile.
Yeah, and the way it gets good at that is by being shown lots of examples that already have the right pile marked on them. Email plus spam label, photo plus cat label, symptom list plus diagnosis label.
Okay, but that already sounds like magic to a newcomer. Like, how does it go from examples to knowing the rule?
By learning patterns in the examples, it notices which features tend to show up with which labels. A spam filter might see certain word frequencies, weird sender patterns, formatting quirks. It starts using those regularities to separate one class from another.
So the classifier is learning a kind of nap. Right? Like on this side of the map, that looks like spam. On that side, it doesn't.
Exactly. The common phrase is decision boundary. That's just the invisible line or surface the model learns in data space. If a new input lands on one side, it gets one label. On the other side, a different label.
And before anybody panics at the phrase data space, that's just the model's way of arranging examples by their features. Not space in the sci-fi sense. We do not need more podcast weirdness than we already have.
Right. It's just a way of talking about the shape of the inputs after you've turned them into numbers. The model is learning where the categories separate based on those numbers.
Okay, let me do the prerequisite thing before we wander off. We did a whole episode on neural networks, episode 633. But the quick version is a neural network is a stack of layers that transforms inputs into useful signals. It's one common kind of classifier.
And since we're being honest about the machinery, training usually starts with labeled examples. The model makes a guess, compares that guess to the correct label, and then gets told how wrong it was.
That part is where loss function comes in. Episode 688. The loss is just the score for how bad the mistake was, not the goal itself, just the penalty signal that says, nope, that answer was off.
And then gradient descent, episode 677, is the basic move that nudges the model toward lower loss. It's the hill down step. Small corrections, repeated a lot.
I always like that this sounds dramatic and isn't. It's not a lightning bolt of intelligence. It's a bunch of tiny adjustments because the answer was a little wrong, then a little less wrong, then a little less wrong again.
Yeah, and that's the part people skip when they say a classifier learned. It didn't absorb a concept in the human sense. It adjusted parameters so future inputs are more likely to fall on the right side of the boundary.
Parameters meaning the internal numbers the model can change. So the model is basically tuning itself until the boundary works better. That's the bit I want people to hear and not lose.
Right. And if it's a binary classifier, there are two classes, yes or no, spam or not spam. If it's multi-class, there are three or more, cat, dog, bird. The same idea, just more buckets.
Wait, and the model has to decide among all of them at once?
Usually, yes. It produces scores or probabilities for the candidate classes, and the highest one wins. The exact output shape depends on the model, but the job is still the same. choose a discrete category.
That's a nice place to connect it to the stuff we've looked at, like that KD Nuggets piece on reducing latency and inference cost in production, or the Claude Fable 5 redeploying thing. A lot of the practical work is really about making the classifier faster, cheaper, or more reliable at the moment of choice.
Yeah, and that's where people get fooled by the glamour of the model and ignore the boring part. In production, the question is often not, can it classify? It's can it classify fast enough, cheaply enough, and consistently enough that anyone actually uses it.
Okay, this is the part where I start sounding too optimistic, but I think that's why classifier is such a product-shaped idea. If the label is the thing the user cares about, then the whole system is judged by whether it gets that label right.
Sure, but only if the label is actually well-defined. And that's where I get annoying on purpose. Because a lot of classifier failures are not model failures. They're label failures. The classes were fuzzy. The examples were messy. Or the data didn't really match the world.
Mm-hmm.
So before you even talk about accuracy, you need a train test split. Train on one chunk of data, hold another chunk back, and only use that held out set to see how the classifier behaves on inputs it has never seen.
Because otherwise it's cheating. Right? It can look amazing on examples it memorized and then fall apart the second the world does something slightly annoying.
Exactly. The test set is the reality check. If you only measure on training data, you learn how well the model remembers, not how well it generalizes.
And generalize here means do the right thing on new inputs, not just the ones it saw in class. That's a very non-glamorous but deeply necessary word.
Very non-glamorous. Yes. Then you get metrics. Accuracy is the simplest one. What fraction did it get right? But that can be misleading when one class is rare.
Like fraud detection, right? If fraud is tiny and the model always says not fraud, the accuracy looks great and the product is garbage.
Exactly. That's the class imbalance problem. One class shows up way more often than the other. So a naive classifier can game the headline metric by just defaulting to the common class.
And that's one of those moments where the product reality gets louder than the benchmark. Because the user doesn't care that you achieved a nice percentage by being useless.
That's why people look at precision and recall. Precision asks, when the model says yes, how often is it actually right? Recall asks, out of all the real yes cases, how many did it catch?
So precision is about not crying wolf, and recall is about not missing the actual wolf. That's the one analogy I'm allowed, I think. One wolf is fine.
One wolf, yes. And F1 score combines precision and recall into a single number, which is useful when you want one summary, but still care about both sides of the trade-off.
Okay, I need to rewind for a second because there's a piece people blur together. The classifier is the thing doing the assigning, but the training process is what teaches it to assign better. Those are related, not identical.
Yeah, that distinction matters. The classifier is the model or function. Training is the procedure that adjusts it using labeled data. People say the classifier learned, but what they really mean is the training process found parameters that work better on the task.
That is such a Draco sentence, and I mean that lovingly. You always pull the verb back to the mechanism.
Someone has to. Otherwise, we end up with mysticism wearing a hoodie.
And I think this is where the shape of the model starts to matter. A simple classifier like logistic regression or a decision tree is easier to inspect. You can often see which features push the answer one way or another.
Right. And a deeper neural network classifier can be better at complex patterns, but it's harder to explain why it made a specific call. That's the interpretability versus complexity trade-off.
Which is very product real. Sometimes the simpler thing ships better because a human can trust it, debug it, or even argue with it when it's wrong.
Exactly. If the model is going to sit in a workflow where people need to understand the why, black box performance is only half the story. Finally unmasked by two profoundly normal podcast hosts, which is a sentence I can't believe we keep earning.
I know, I cannot believe this is how we're spending a Wednesday, but at least we made classifier less mysterious. See you next time, Draco.